All right. Hello, everybody. It is Abigail and Amina, your stay-at-home mom, or stay-at-home daughter. Checking in, haven't checked in a while. Just wanted to get everybody an update on our life as a stay-at-home mom and daughter. It has its challenges. It also has its rewards. And I'm gonna start with the challenges first, just so we can get the negative out the way. And then we'll get back to the positive. So the challenges of a stay-at-home mom is peace of mind. Although, you know, you love your baby, I love my baby, or your children or child or whatever, but you hear the same children's songs over and over and over and over and over again. So when it first start, when they finally get that show that they love, you're so excited. You record it, record them watching it, record them dancing to it, singing to it, clapping, snapping their hands, their fingers, whatever it is that they do while watching it. And when it come on, the excitement that they have, it's all a beautiful thing until it become repetitive. It's like, okay, we've seen this same episode 3,000 times. Like, I know the songs to at least 20 episodes of Bob the Train. Don't get me wrong, Bob the Train is a very good show. It's very educational. It teaches them how to count. It teaches them their numbers. It teaches them their letters. It teaches them words. It teaches them life skills. Even if, like, one song is about if you're alone and you're feeling afraid, don't feel alone, don't feel afraid, because what is unknown to you today will be familiar tomorrow, which is a very good message, I would like to say. And so, I mean, it teaches them great lessons that we teach them, but it teaches them in a way that they truly, truly understand, because it's a song for children. And it's interesting because it's the things that children deal with. But at the same time, it teaches them fear. Because it's like, child wasn't afraid of being alone at first. You can leave out the room and she'll be okay. But now she's like, wait a minute. Bob the Train said being alone is kind of scary. Now I'm scared of the unknown, you know? So it's like, okay, Bob the Train told you that, but it's okay. All you have to do is holler, mommy or dada, and we'll come. So that's one of the challenges. The other challenge is when your baby only have two teeth and you don't know what to feed that baby. Because the baby is a picky eater. So I use this app called Peanut. Peanut is a good app for moms, whether it is for new moms, stay-at-home moms, moms looking for friends that are moms as well. If you're looking for advice, then you don't want a biased opinion from your friends or family. It's a great app all around. So I literally just posted today, what should I feed my one-year-old daughter who only has two teeth? And you get so many opinions.
And one lady said, oh, she only had 2 teeth. Keep giving her mashed food. You know, mashed potatoes and mashed vegetables and all that stuff. One lady said, don't give her any mashed foods. She's one. My son been eating steak since he was 6. Another one said, you can do both, you know. It's because the babies need to feel that different texture on their gums, you know, for their teeth to grow through, to pop through properly. And I agree with all three on some point, at some point. Sorry, my throat. But it also is a matter of the child and what the child likes and what the child don't like. And one other one that made probably more sense than everything is, well, how much milk are you giving her? And my baby maybe drink 1 or 2 bottles throughout the day. And now maybe 1 bottle through the night now. So it's not a lot of milk, but she do get a lot of juice and water throughout the day. And I'm trying to figure it out. I don't want to starve her. I don't want to deprive her of what she wants. But I also need her to eat a nice portion. Now, I would be worried if she wasn't having bowel movements, if she was lethargic, and she was, you know, any of those things, or super small, like super skinny. But she's not. She has a nice weight to her. She's growing. She's active. She's learning. She's smart beyond her year. So, it's a great thing. As far as how she acts, but it's just nerve-wracking because it's like, I mean, please eat, baby. Please eat. So, that's another challenge. Being a stay-at-home mom, because you gotta try to figure out what they want to eat, and you're cooking maybe 2, 3, 4 times in the setting, and that's with each meal that you cook. If you cook 3 meals a day, you might be cooking 12 because the baby's picky. Another challenge is the relationship. A lot of times when people have children and one parent is a stay-at-home parent and the other is a working parent, it draws a real strain on a relationship that either one or both will see. In my case, I think it was just me seeing it because I'm like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm used to being a working mom. You know, I was a working woman before I was a mom, and then I was a working mom, and then I went into the stay-at-home mom of 1 child, and now I have another one on the way. So it's really something to adjust to. And my fear is that I will never fully adjust because I like working. You know, I like making money, my own money. So I often wonder, is it the money that I miss? Is it getting up and going somewhere that I miss? Is it a combination of both? Or is it me just needing some free time? If I had a balance of like get up and go and do something on your own, you know, would that make me feel better? If I had some type of income where I didn't have to go to work, would that make me feel better? So I don't really know at this point what would make it 100% better. Like, well, I know nothing's 100%, but what would bring you to like, oh my goodness, this is so great. I don't want to be an exhausted working mom, you know, going to work full time, coming home full time mom again. I don't want to do that. I do want to make money. So the positive thing of being a stay-at-home mom is that you have nothing but time and opportunity to explore your desires, which is what I'm kind of doing. Like, I'll write here and there. I googled like stay-at-home businesses and things like that. So I've tried to get into the customer service thing. Something didn't go through with that. And then I recently stumbled across travel agents. It's like, oh wow, here's a wonderful opportunity to be a travel agent. Yes, of course it costs a startup as a travel agent when you're working from home. The startup cost wasn't much, so that was okay. You know, you have a partner in life and friends and family who will support you as long as you're not just like begging for money. I'm not one to beg for money. It's not pride. It's just that I've always been self-sufficient. So I don't really know how to be dependent upon someone. Which also can be frustrating because you have all these expectations of people to be just good-hearted people and to do for you as you will and have done for them. But some people don't see it like that. And we have to learn how to separate that. I've always been a believer of treat people how they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated. Because what may be disrespectful to you may not be disrespectful to some or to that one. And what may seem as a gesture of love to you may not seem as a gesture of love to them. Some people thrive on hardcore love, like tough love. Some people thrive from that. Some people break down from that. Some people thrive with mushy romance, and they do all that they can to return the favor, and other people get weak from it or break down again. Like, they don't have to do much because they're getting the love that their heart desired and didn't know, you know, it desired it and such. So there's so many things that being a stay-at-home mom can do to you. It really opens your mind a lot. You think about all these different scenarios and all these different things that happened in your life and didn't happen in your life as a stay-at-home mom. Because once you become a mom, like, your entire past, like, can't even touch your present. I don't care if it was like a 300-foot pole, it cannot touch it. Because there is nothing that can measure up to having a child with someone or in just having a child, period. Nothing that can measure up to it. I'm so grateful that I'm able to experience it. Not once, but twice. Well, right now it's 1.5. But it's such a trying thing as well. I read on Facebook and look at single mothers and single fathers and the posts that they make, and I can relate to a lot of them. And then there are posts, although I'm not a single mother, I can relate to a lot of the single parents, because being a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home parent often feels as you are a single parent. Because you're doing everything by yourself for the most part of the day. If the other person works, like, 8 to 10 hours, 6 days a week, it's like they're never there. So when you factor in all the time that they spend to get to work, to get from work, and maybe run errands on the way home, you know, so it's like they're never there. And then when they get home, they might be tired and drained and just want to relax and have time to themselves. Which is understandable because they've been out dealing with the energy of the world. But it's also, it's like, oh, please just take the baby. And you don't want to say take the baby as if you're giving up on your child, because some people can lack understanding and think that that means you can't handle it, and you don't want anybody to ever say it to you, especially as a mother. You went through hell and high water to give that baby life and to continue to live and fight for your own life at birth and after birth. But you do wish you just had the help without asking, you know, or when you do ask, you get it immediately. So that's another challenge, being a stay-at-home mom with someone who's not a stay-at-home parent is critical. And because there's no me time and there's no us time. It's always we, as in you and the baby, and that's it. So that's another challenge in a sense. A positive thing about being a stay-at-home mom is that you get to see everything first. You get to see when your child takes their first steps. You get to see when they say a new word. You get to hear when they say a new word. You get to see when they do a new thing. Like, my daughter just started snapping her fingers when she hear music. Like a little old lady. That is so cute. She knows how to clap, and she say all these different words that she hears. She'll look at me directly in my eyes and say it. And it's just like, you got it. And she gets so excited, and it's exciting to share that with your daughter. And you'd be like, well, I seen it first. We seen it first. Not as a competition, but at least no stranger at a daycare or a family member seen it before you seen it. You don't really want someone else telling you what your child did, unless it was like, oh my goodness, your child have so much manners, like they said thank you, they said please, they said may I, you know. Then you know you raised your child right to do the things that you asked them to do when they're outside the house, when they're away from you. They like, oh my goodness, my child did all of that. Oh, that's so great. So you have all of that to look forward to. And then when your child does create, or I mean hits a milestone where they're depending upon themselves to do something and they don't want you to do it, it's bittersweet, because it's like, oh, you're trying to grow up on me really quick. But then it's also, it's like the sweetness is like, oh, look at you feeding yourself, and I can feed myself and eat. You know, so we can sit at the table and eat together now. You know, without you sitting on my lap or me feeding you, and vice versa. Well, not vice versa, but things like that. You get to see those milestones that they hit, and you kind of become proud of yourself in a sense. Where it's like, I did good. I did good. The school didn't teach her that. I taught her that. Oh, she know her ABCs. I did good. I taught her that, not the school. She know how to count. I taught her that, not the school. You know, it's things like those moments of learning. Everybody said, oh, your daughter is so smart. She's beyond her year. And which is great. She's not like a woman beyond her years, but she's like, she's at the pace, I think, of a 2-year-old, and she's one. So it's a great thing because it's like, you know, she's been raised by you full time. So, you know, what she's learning is coming from you. Now, there's also the bad part of what she learned that comes from you. Like, if me and her father's arguing or whatever, we may raise our voice or something. And she looks at us and then she'll raise her voice over us to get us to shut up. And that's not a good thing that we taught her without teaching her. Like, so it was indirectly taught to her. It was a learned behavior, not a taught behavior. So that's another thing. So you just being a stay-at-home mom, like I said, it has its ups and its downs. It has its challenges and its rewards. It has its perks. As you know that child is going to love you, love everything about you, and you're going to love that everything about that child. So, not to toot my own horn, but I think I'm the preferred parent, which I was afraid of in the beginning. Like, not that I was like, oh, I want to be the preferred parent, but I know that girls love their dad ass or their fathers. They really, you know, attach more to their father than they do to their mother. But that's not the case right now. She's attached to me. So she's attached to both of us, but she's attached to me, which is awesome. Because I'm here with her all day. I didn't want her to feel like, oh, where's my daddy? I just miss him. I can't function without him, you know? But I also don't want her to feel like that when I'm gone either. I don't want her to feel like, where's my mommy? I miss my mommy. I can't function without her. I want her to, you know, miss us both and be able to function equally, you know, whether she see us leave the room or not. Sometimes she'll be, I've read an article where it said, like, children act up more when the mother's around. And I've been told that my daughter does that. Like, she cry a little bit more when I'm in the room or in the house than she does when I'm not there. Like, if she sees me leave, she cries. But if she doesn't see me leave, she's okay. It's like she don't know I'm there or not, so she's okay. But again, it has its challenges, it has its rewards, and I'm grateful for both of them because as I grow as a mother, I learn how to be more patient, understanding to a child and also to adults. Because I feel like adults have been through so much in their life that they forget the inner child in them. And I think having children should remind you of your inner child. Because if you actually live life looking at life as a child does, a newborn baby or whatever, everything is exciting. You know, everything is new and exploring worthy. So that's something every parent and person should be able to experience in life, is to look at life like a child. Because the way my daughter will look at like a spoon for the first time, it's like, whoa, this is nice and shiny. It has a round oval thing on it, and it has a long stem, and I can hold it in my hand, I can grip it. So when she first like really noticed the spoon, she fell in love with it to the point where she started sleeping with her spoon. And other children would sleep with a blanket or a teddy bear or something like that, but she slept with her spoons, which was super cute. But that's just me for today. I was checking in, just letting you know about the challenges and rewards and the ups and downs of being a stay-at-home mom and things like that. So I'll check back in at a later date. All right, now, bye-bye. Hi, Amina. She just stumbled into the bathroom.